Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all today? It's an awesome day to be in the house of the Lord. And you didn't get wet coming in this morning. It's a blessing. Well, welcome to Lakeside United Methodist Church. If you're a first time visitor with us today, I'm Pastor David Branson, and we're welcoming you into our congregation and into the house of the Lord today as we worship and sing praises to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a few announcements this morning. You know the Connect Card routine, please sign that out if you're a visitor. If you would like us to send you a newsletter or some information about the church, you can indicate it there. But this is how we report our attendance as well. So please fill that out and drop it into the offering plate as it comes around this morning. I'm challenging you all to a chili cook-off on June 20th, so sign up in the Narthex. I'm going to give you all a run for your money with my good chili. So if you're a chili connoisseur, come out and enjoy a good meal on Saturday, June 20th. And if you think you're a good cook, give me a run. Give me a chance to show you some good chili. So I encourage you all to do that as well. It is a special day in the life of our church today. We're going to have a presentation today from Shirley Turner and Bill Taylor about the Children's Home, United Methodist Children's Home. You'll see this is the fifth Sunday. There's a special offering envelope for that as well. So we look forward to hearing the impressions of Bill and Shirley as we traveled in March, I believe it was, up to the Children's Home and just had a great time. So I look forward to that presentation today as well. I hope you all are ready to worship this morning and to sing our praises to Jesus Christ. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Good morning. Our choir this morning.
The voice of the Lord of God created the universe. The voice of God calls us to worship, and we cry.
Glory.
The voice of Christ names us as sisters and brothers. The voice of Christ calls us to worship, and we cry.
Glory.
Glory. The voice of the Spirit claims us as children of God. The voice of the Spirit calls us to worship, and we cry,
glory, glory, glory.
Amen, amen. Please remain standing for our opening hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Holy, 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 Lord God.
awesome God, you are too amazing for even us to comprehend. Father, we thank you for the majesty, the power, and the glory of your divine presence in our lives. We are grateful that you came to us in the person of a tiny human baby. You sent your own Son to enter fully into our lives. Our connection with Christ continues through the power of the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit that transforms us into brothers and sisters of Christ, full partners in the glory of your divine love. With hearts overflowing, we thank you, precious Lord. Amen.
Amen. 14. He himself is our peace, who has destroyed all barriers.
Care program, foster care, and child care center. after a box lunch, we could visit the different homes and the different buildings. We spoke with the staff and was impressed by their enthusiasm and dedication. I was surprised and had no idea that the home was this large. As pictures are worth a thousand words, I'll turn to Mr. Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Shirley covered everything I was going to say. Let me take you on a tour. If you didn't have a chance to go, join me and let's take a real quick tour of the children's home. This is after we've arrived. We're looking for the refreshment booth. There it is. I was so impressed with the home itself. They only do this once a year, but you get the feeling that they do this every weekend. There are thousands of people that come up on that weekend, and for this particular day, and when we arrived, they had donuts, they had coffee, they had juice, and everything that you could want after your long trip up there. This was mostly, I believe, Southern Florida Methodist churches that were invited to come. And then we gathered in I've never heard this term before, gymnatorium, for a presentation. But before that, I took a real quick trip around on the trams. On the way into the gymnatorium, there's a classroom. And to me, this might be the most important classroom in the whole place there. The lady who was the teacher there was showing us what they did in this particular classroom. There were computers, there were some, I'm not sure if these were students or helpers that were there. They work on workbooks, and this is why they were there in this particular classroom. I'm an adopted parent, I have two daughters from Korea, and believe me, this particular class deals with feelings and emotions, and definitely an important thing for these kids to take part in. And on this thing it says here, how are you feeling today? You're overwhelmed, rebellious, shocked, peaceful, exhausted, loving, and so forth. And if it's anything the kids need to get a handle on, it's on their emotions. And there's a program that this young lady, the teacher, has put into place that I think was developed at Yale. And it deals with understanding your emotion, identifying it, putting a name on it, and then dealing with that emotion. How do you deal with it? And this is certainly a need, a real strong need here. This is a voluntary class that they encourage the kids to come. We took a short tram ride just before the presentation around the campus just to see it. This will give you some idea of what it's like. It's very spacious. There's a lot of land. There's a lot of buildings. Rocking chairs.
All right.
That's the entrance where we came in. That's the chapel. We'll come back there. And there were booths set up along the way as you're walking around the grounds they would talk about their other programs that they also have. That's where we ate lunch. They had provided lunches for everyone. That's the main administration building, which I believe was the original orphanage, if you will, or children's home in the beginning. That's one of the residence buildings there. We'll come back and go in there. There's a ropes course. They have a climbing wall and a ropes course. And that's the end of this little short tram trip. Now we're back at the gymnatorium, and I believe this lady, she's the director of the children's home. She spoke to us, the children did songs for us, and they played the music. There's a music program that they have there in the chapel building, and they put the words up on the screen for us so we could sing along with them. And he's a board member.
A trustee board member.
A trustee board member. Okay. That's the chapel. Let's take a quick look in the chapel. They have a sound system and video and so forth. If you can see it, the picture on the left, can you see that clearly enough? You know what it is? On the left. The left side of the picture, you know, the fucking cross. Well, there are two people standing, and then there's like a little river, and there's a basket in the river with a baby in the basket. Moses, right? What a fitting picture for a children's home. I mean, here's dealing with abandonment. There's the quintessential abandonment issue right there. The picture on the right is a little bit larger there. There's a donkey, somebody riding on the donkey, somebody walking, and a child leading them. Isn't that fascinating? What a wonderful thing. I didn't really see this when I was in the chapel, but going through the pictures, to have in the chapel. Of course, being a techie, there's their sound system. Can you read this picture? Children's Home, founded in 1908. Welcome to day zero. Welcome to day zero. Isn't that fascinating? To me, it's welcome to the day zero of the rest of your life. And we'll play a testimony and maybe you can get the feeling in that. This home has changed so many people's lives. There's a Madison Youth Ranch in the Panhandle of Florida that's just been finished and is operational now. They have pictures of that. They also do family services, Orlando, Tampa. Is it Volusia? Is that the pronunciation? Can't like it. Yes. And then foster homes. There's a large foster home program that they do. And they recruit families for that and have a large number of kids in foster homes which are not resident here. They promote independent living. They have construction technology, culinary arts programs, cosmetology, and then child care apprenticeship programs. And this, the kids here, all of the schooling is not at the home. They go to the public schools in this area where the home is. So the buses come in, take the kids to school, and then they come back home, just like any kid. But they have other programs and other classes here that they can take as well. So this is some of the classrooms. A lot of computers, a lot of books. Even on the campus, there's a take a book and leave a book. Calvin Brinkley Home for Little Children, 1923 is the cornerstone on one of the main buildings. This is my favorite. When I saw this, I wanted to know, where do I sign up? How do I? I could even do the chores. This is a boys' home. Let's go in and take a look at that. Here's a bedroom. There are two to a room. And there's, I think, 8 or 10 kids to a building. Neater than I expected. You think they were expecting guests? This is a dining and a living area. There are TVs. They can't just watch any TV program. There are certain programs that they're allowed to watch. And then other times, the TV sets are used for games. They can play games. And they have, this is again, control. They have certain hours where they can do that. This is a kitchen, 2 refrigerators, 2 or 3 sinks, 2 pantries that are locked. The kids have chores to do. They have dishes to wash and clean up. Here's a bunch of them watching TV, or playing games, I'm sorry. And their rooms are back in the doors. Those are bedrooms back there. There are 2 sets of house parents, and they trade off each week. Set A takes week 1, and set B takes week 2. And they each have their own apartment inside the house. So they don't have to move in and move out. Their stuff's already there. This is one of the house parents. He's this little dark, standing at the side. I really am chatting with those folks. I should have gotten some more pictures of the house parents. They bring their own kids. They bring their own dogs. pets, whatever, to the house. That's their house. And these kids then, for that week, become their kids. It really takes a lot of courage and a lot of faith to be house parents. One of them, the couple, I asked her, why did you guys decide to become house parents? How did that happen? And I was talking to his wife, and she was saying, my husband wanted to work with children, and this opportunity opened up. And they're really doing such a wonderful job with the kids. This is a boys' closet, bathroom, they share the bathrooms. This one kid, this was the messiest desk I saw. So this kid and I, we talked for a while about his model. He had a model here of a rocket plane that he was building. Very techie. He seemed like he might have been a new kid. He was kind of sitting on the bed, a little bit curled up. Didn't come out and play with the other kids so much. So perhaps he was new there, I don't know. Laundry facilities are all in the house. Another view of the kitchen. There's a girl's building here. Let's drop in there and see what that's like. Looks a little more like a girl's room. And the kids would take us around and show us their rooms. So as we go in, they would meet us and they'd take us and show us their rooms. Now compare that with the boys' closet. But with my kids, I never saw the floors. The girl showing us, she's up in front. There's some other visitors here. And she's showing us her room. It was one of the more decorated rooms. She had things all over the walls, quite proud of what she had. Spanish moss. They do have infants and toddlers. I didn't get over there. I don't know if anybody of our group did. Or maybe it wasn't even open for visiting. There's the lake that they're on. Beautiful setting. And we're finally coming to the Bridge of Hope. And there's the team that went, less a few that left early. So if you have any questions, you can check with those people and ask questions later. What I'd like to do is to play a video of one of the testimonies, and let me just briefly run over some of what he talks about. In case it's in an auditorium, the sound is a little bouncing around in there. But this is, I don't know his name. He was 10 years old when he arrived at the children's home, and he'll use the term Funch, F-U-M-C-H. So the kids refer to this as Funch. That was in 2002, so he's 23 years old now when he spoke. His mother and stepfather were on drugs and alcohol, and his father, he said, would take the children fishing when sober. He would do good things with them. But at 8 years old, his father was drunk, and he fractured his skull and broke his nose. He was removed from the family and placed in a foster home. And later, 2 years later, he was then placed at Funch. He acted out at home and at school, he says. You'll hear him say this. He was angry, and he felt angry and guilty. But his focus changed to apply himself on schoolwork, mainly because his house parents were there for him. And at 16, he took high school, and he was allowed to take as well college classes, and he wanted to erase the label of being a foster child. He applied himself and graduated with an associate college degree even before graduating high school. He gives thanks to his house parents and the many people at the home. He thanks his mother, who was in the audience that day. She had been drug and alcohol free for 4 years. And you'll hear some applause when he talks about that. He thanks everyone their donations of time and money. And then he talks to the kids and he advises them to be the best they can, because they are the best, and they can be the best. So let's play this.
Experience one of the things before he changes to this that we all can't punch. He never had a real father. His mother was a victim of drug and alcohol abuse. He had four other siblings and they left the world to him. and so did his mother, despite the sickness that controlled most of her adult life. To keep the story short, I'm going to cut to the chase. He also had a stepfather that suffered from drug and alcohol abuse. He was a nice man when he was sober, and he even liked to take his stepchildren fishing and do fun things. But as we all know, drugs and alcohol can do some horrible things. One night, the stepfather got upset with his 8-year-old stepson, and one thing led to another. The boy was on his way to the hospital with a fractured skull and a busted nose. I'm sorry that this part of the story is not nice. From the hospital, after a 2-week recovery, the boy was sent to his first foster home. He was hurt, lost, sad, and confused. He missed his family, and he felt guilty for everything that happened. He also missed his 1-year-old baby brother, AJ, very much. The boy didn't understand why his world seemed to be falling apart. He only wanted to be with his brother, sister, and mother. But this was not allowed no longer. What happened was very serious. And after some time passed, the boy was sent to a place called Florida Young and his children's home. It was 2002, but he was 10 years old now. He also later found out that his baby brother AJ would soon be adopted away to a new family. Sad, right? Okay, we haven't figured out what the boy was being. And I'm here to tell you how the watch changed my life. But first, let's be honest, who wants to be ripped away from their family? Nobody. But sometimes life doesn't always seem to make sense at first. And that's why I came to the home at 10 years old and I acted out. I miss my family, I felt guilty for everything that happened that led to my arrival here. I thought it was my fault and I felt worthless. I acted out in school and I acted out at the home. As an adult, I look back and I realize how normal this was. To feel guilt and to act out at first. But through time, things changed. I realized what the home had to offer. A stable roof over my head. There was no more moving around. No worrying about anybody getting drunk or high and hurting me. Constant meals, arriving to school, being introduced to God, clothes, singing at church, recreation, choir practice, summer camp, therapeutic things that happened to me, but most importantly, a place to call home. And a place where people care about my safety and well-being. Through time, things healed, and I put my focus on my schoolwork and being open to therapy and dealing with my childhood traumas. This was so important. We don't always have control over what that means, but we do have control over how we deal with them. Don't be scared to do this. Also, never be scared to forgive those that hurt you. Forgiving those people will do much more for you than you can imagine. It will relieve you in any way you feel for the bad things that happen. The children's home made this possible. The house parents, tutors, recreation staff, pastor, and everyone here were my mentors. They were there for me. They advised me in ways that others never did or could. They listened, they cared, they encouraged me to remember that my dreams were valid no matter where I came from or what I went through. The children's home gave me hope that I could be better than my childhood, that the hurts of my past didn't have to define my future. They set rules and regulations like a bedtime, point system, reasonable consequences for bad behavior, and they also rewarded great behavior and achievements. I never realized this now, but this was so therapeutic and necessary for my health and childhood development. I'm very thankful for this. At age 16, I decided to enroll in the dual enrollment program at Delta High School. They allowed me to take college courses at the same time I'm taking high school courses, and I worked very hard. Including a full-time schedule over summer, because I was determined to be better than anyone ever thought I could be, and to prove to the world what it was to be a foster and troubled child. I wanted to erase the labels, and after 2 years of a full-time schedule, high school, and part-time job, I graduated with my associate's degree 1 week before my high school graduation. With you, the home would not exist. It's not always to see this at first, but I promise if you have faith and an open mind, and I'm talking to the current residents now, you too can come to realize this. Life is what you make of it. No one can hold you back but you. Every day isn't always pretty. If you can only use the hurts of the past as encouragement to better your lives, then you will continue to break the mold of a foster or children's home child, and to realize that their home is here for us to succeed in life. There is so much of us needs to offer. Don't be too proud to use all that is here to better yourself. Also, when you become an adult, the world isn't always pretty either. But that's why it's important to prepare yourself mentally, emotionally, and psychologically. Again, don't be scared of therapy while you live here. It can literally change your life for the better forever, indifferently. Make yourself proud here and make it great to be to adulthood. Use it to continue to break the mold just for the life of a purpose. And never forget your dreams are valid. My mother is here today, and I am proud of her for choosing to recover her life from drugs and alcohol and being sober for 4 years.
About 280% above what they asked from our congregation.
And not only that, I know there are some of you, and I'm actually one of those as well, that give additional money to the children's home that is not reflected in that number. So this church is awesome in the way that we support the children's home. I'm glad you got to see a testimony today. I asked Bill to put that together. It was a little long, but it was fine because it makes a difference. And that's why we're here. We're reaching out. We're touching children's lives. We may not see these children. Mildred in the back said, I would like to go the next time we go up there. Well, what it is, we're assigned by districts to go up and visit the children's home. And it may be 3, 4, 5 years before our time rotates around again. So it's important when these opportunities arise that you would like to go up and see what they do there for you all to make that commitment to do that. But it is a great place. I know Bill and Shirley, you were touched tremendously by that. And I want to make it's a very small presentation today. But Miss Dorothy Leone has been our children's home representative for how many years? Many, 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 many years, right? How many years?
I don't
even remember. It's been so long. But they give out special pins for a local church representative for the Florida United Methodist Children's Home. And I want to give you the pin because you still represent us.
Thank you.
As the representative for Lakeside. And let's give Dorothy a hand. Foster care system at 18 years of age. In the normal foster care system, those children are put out on the street. They now are meant to fend for themselves. Yep. How many 18-year-olds coming out of high school, hopefully, are ready to take care of themselves at 18 years old? What the Florida United Methodist Children's Home, across the street from this property, is like an apartment complex. And they have a program there for kids that are not ready to go out and find their work. They actually help them find work, employment, and all those things. But they have a department set up to help those kids beyond the age of 18. So they're not just turned out on the street at 18 years old and say go fend for themselves. They have somewhere to fall back into the loving arms of people that really care about them. So congratulations to you all for all your support of the children's home. To me, it's very important. That's why I wanted to spend this extra time on this today. And but thank you all, Bill and Shirley, for sharing. Here that have served in the board position or some other capacity at the children's home. So the history here goes way back, and we are just grateful for your all's continued commitment and support of the children's home. Let's move on in our service. It's a time that we bring our prayer request to God today, and I do want to include the children's home and all the good work that goes on there today. Let's continue to lift up these folks today. Richard Fearbed, we continue to pray for his, just God's comfort and peace in his life. Eugene Nussbaum is continuing to heal him. He's at Signature still. So continue to pray for Gene. Diane Jordan, a friend of ours, is having some terrible side effects with chemotherapy. We continue to pray for Tony Crispino as he continues with the testing to see if some issues with his throat and things. We continue to pray for Violet Simmons as she continues her healing and chemotherapy as well. Dan Walsh, tomorrow he goes into JFK, but we'll be doing a procedure on him, and then Tuesday he will be having a valve job. So we're going to pray for Dan on Tuesday morning, especially Dan. We're going to be lifting you up with that as well. Kathy Chandler has a praise, but she received good test results, which is the test she was undergoing. Praises and just thanks to God for adults that are good influence in children's lives. I second that as well. This week, Tony Crispino's son would have celebrated a birthday. This week he passed away 6 months ago, so we remember him today as well. Say a special prayer for Tony's son.
So remembering him today as well. As we continue to lift up Juan Bell in North Carolina, who's under hospice care. A lot of needs this week. There always are, and I encourage you now to bring yours before the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Gracious and awesome God, your voice thunders in our ears. The power of your message is strong in our hearts. Father, today, as we've had a presentation on the children's home, I just lift up that entire ministry to you today, that you would continue to bless it, that you would send people to serve in that ministry with hearts for God, and that they would be positive influences in the lives of those children who so desperately need their attention and to be shown love, maybe for the first time. So, Father, just be with all the children there, and the staff, and everyone associated with the children's home, Father. Father God, we lift up all those mentioned here today, many needs in our congregation for healing, for emotional support, for financial support, wherever we find need in our lives today, Lord, we come searching you out and just calling on you, Father, to come into our lives, to be a presence. Father, where you come into these children's lives and make a difference, Father, we pray that same prayer for all of our loved ones mentioned here today and those in our hearts that have gone unmentioned. Father God, thank you for the blessings of this day. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for their willingness to support good ministry. Father, thank you for the blessings of being this church. Father, we lift up our community around us today, Lord, as it as well continues to struggle with life's issues. Father, we just pray for those being oppressed in our society, those on the fringes, those marginalized by our systems. Father, we pray for them today. Father God, we have so many needs. We have so many concerns. Father, let us fill our hearts with our praises as well. Father, where we have seen you and heard your voice thundering from the heavens, let us remember how much you love us. Let us remember the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, coming to earth to walk among us. So, Father, thank you. Bless us today as we go forth from this place, let us take the good news of Jesus Christ into the world. Father, let us be your people. Let us continue to be Easter people, a people of hope. Father, thank you. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.
Lord, of all the
the kingdom of God. We ask your blessing upon this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
The voice of the Lord shakes the desert.
The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message and the power of the voice of God. Father, I pray today that each one of us hears strongly, whether it is thunder or whether it is a still small voice that speaks to our hearts. Father, we thank you for the closeness of you through your Son, Jesus. In whose name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'll just speak briefly on the voices of God. I often ask people, are the voices in your head always the same voices? Does God speak to us in different ways?
Yes.
Does God speak to us in the thunder?
Yep.
The clouds I saw this morning about 7 o'clock down south, I thought, boy, God, you're going to play right into my message today. There will be lightning and thunder, and we will know you are God. But I also know God speaks to us in that still, small voice. I, in my life, have prayed for that thundering voice of God. But sometimes He whispers so softly, I have to say, wait, did I hear something? If I'm about to make a bad choice or think a bad thought, sometimes you get that little nudge. That can't be God. It's okay. That's God nudging your heart. Those of you that know my testimony know that I cry out to God for a 2x4, for a Mack truck. And He sent both in my life. For that I am grateful. This psalm speaks of the thundering voice of God. In all the things, in all the calamities, ancient peoples thought God spoke to them through thunder and lightning. They thought that was God speaking directly to them. And Moses brought down the Ten Commandments. And God spoke to them. They cried out, please make it stop. We can't take it. And God speaks to us in a still small voice. So my prayer for you today is that God would continue to speak to you. Tying this into our children's home message, when we are there, it's hallowed ground. It's holy ground. Do any of you walk onto this property and feel it to be even more holy than other places?
Amen.
If you've had a life event here, if you've been married here, if you've married a loved one here, if your baby has been baptized here, all of a sudden this place gets real special, doesn't it? God speaks to us in those special places, in those special times. The young man who gave his testimony today, he felt the love and presence of God in his life. He didn't necessarily have that up until the age of 10. He never spoke of how God was powerful in his life until he came to the children's home. And he felt the presence of Christ and those that were caring for him. They get some wicked thunder and lightning storms up there.
Sure.
I don't know if when he seen the lightning flash and the thunder roll that he thought God was speaking directly to him. But what I do know is he heard God speaking through those folks who were there to love him and care for him. His house parents. You heard him thank all those folks. That's because God spoke to him through those people. Has God ever spoke to someone through you? That's quite a challenge, isn't it? We hope we're inspirational to people. We hope that when we give someone a hug and care for them when they're in a time of crisis, that it's God using us to speak through us. It's God using each one of us. In all these places in this psalm that speaks of the voice of God, put in its place Jesus Christ. In all those instances that that David wrote this psalm, we can insert Jesus Christ for the voice of God. The scriptures are full of instances where people heard God's voice. This psalm is encouraging us in the same way. I don't mind a good thunderstorm. I don't mind a little lightning. My wife, for one, says that's not fun. But God speaks to us in many different ways. Sometimes he speaks to us in a gentle tone with gentle persuasion. How often does gentle persuasion work for you? Sometimes it does. Sometimes you have to call on the Mack truck. God's voice might be soft. It might be stern. It might be gentle. It might jar us to our very souls. It may console us, and it may command us. But that's why thunder grabs our attention. The subtle approach with me is usually not that great. How about you? Do you like a little tap on the shoulder? Do you like the poof against the face? I have a tendency to ignore things that really don't shake me out of my comfort zone. Ministry is intriguing that way. I'm sure life, your life as well. But until we're taken out of our comfort zone, we're not very inspired sometimes, are we? Taking us out of where we're comfortable emboldens us to speak up. We've got to allow God to use us, to talk to us. Where the psalmist speaks of God's voice, he's speaking directly of Jesus Christ. Jesus had all those experiences in the boat. He was on the seas. He quelled the seas with his voice. In the mountains, when he struck down trees, Jesus was struck down, nailed to a cross. Jesus' representation in the mountains. Where did Jesus preach to the people? On the side of a mountain. The voice of God ringing from the mountains. See the correlation here? That could be us. We can be a voice for God. We keep tweaking our sound systems. I can sound like the voice of God up here. Can I shame you into acceptance? Can I guilt you into acceptance? Can I use my big voice on you to scare you into acceptance? What voice of God are you hearing? And how is it changing your life? That's what we're talking about today. This song is speaking of the power within the name of God. There's power there. It changes lives. Whose life has been changed by the powerful voice of God? Okay, I'll continue to preach on this until all of you raise your hand. Just a smattering of you. Everyone raise your hand. Okay, now pray. God changes lives. Jesus Christ changes lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God's voice in the storm, Jesus' voice in the beginning. Jesus spoke to us today. The testimony of that young man, and the testimony of Shirley and Bill, God is using us to reach out to others. Today we saw what the children's home was. God's kingdom is active everywhere. True?
True.
I hope you all are working diligently in the kingdom of God. Some of you pick mangoes. I knew I'd be able to tie this dish or something. Look at her shaking her head. Miss Robin is our gleaning queen. She's going to be the queen of the gleaning society soon. Robin, thank you for that. I'm going to really go out early enough now, so I'll just say, even in picking vegetables and fruit for those that need help, God speaks through that. You ever hear God out there, Robin? All the time. I knew it. That's why I didn't hesitate to ask her, because I knew what her answer would be. Her heart has been touched by helping others through gleaning. It's an awesome thing. I would encourage you all that are able to do that. Ask her about it. That's how God uses us. God's voice is thundering through you. So use that gift. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Remember that today. God's voice speaks through you. Not just to you, but through you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message from Psalm 29. Father, we expect things in a big way, thundering from the mountaintops or whispering in our ear. Father, wherever the voice of God is heard, there is power in the voice of God. Father, be with us as we strain and strive to hear your voice in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Oh,
Look at the thunder and lightning with new appreciation when you hear it from the heavens. And also listen for God's still small voice. Go now from this place, receive this blessing upon the voice of Christ working through you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.